And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Well, Dave, this week, the International Fascist Alliance suffered a terrible defeat when Orbán went down to defeat in Hungary. And I think it had repercussions in America. It directly affects MAGA. And it had repercussions in almost every country in Europe, Asia. I'm sure you followed it. You want to say something about it?
Yeah. I mean, Orbán was the, I hesitate, I guess you'd call it right wing, but it was the fascistic right wing. Hero. He was the prototype of the new movement. As Ruth Ben-Ghiat used to comment on it, that he didn't abolish elections, he just used elections to establish his power and his power play. And then unpower whatever the opposition, he took over a number of things. He took over the courts and jiggered it so that he had the power there. He took over the press, and he reworked the universities, you know, the things that you saw like DeSantis do in Florida. And he got, support from all of the others who were of that fascist bend. In America, he was invited to CPAC to speak, and they invested a lot into him, that far right wing. Don't forget there were also in Poland, the Law and Justice Party had won an election, but then got defeated. But Orbán, had been there for what, the last 16 years or something like that?
That's right, 16 years.
You know, originally he was elected and he wasn't like that, and then he got defeated. And so he figured when he got elected back again, he was going to make sure that he didn't get defeated again. And some of the things that he tried out were, it was sort of like the test cases. Let's see what I can get away with here. And then it would get franchised out to the other fascists or authoritarians that were in Europe or now over here. And the investment that the Trump people the Republicans made in him was enormous. It was an enormous investment. And, just before the election, J.D. Vance, the vice president of the United States, went over and, he had the gall to say that leaders from other countries had, came in to interfere with the local elections, so to speak.
Yeah, he condemned it. He said leaders from other countries shouldn't interfere in the elections of other countries.
As he's
interfering in their election.
Right, right.
But, these guys, they owe him. The American right wing owes him. Because Orbán set up something called the Danube Institute, which was like the American Heritage Foundation. It was a way to foster, work out fascist ideas that could be implemented by the government. Project 2025, which is the program of MAGA, is a joint product of the Heritage Institute and the Danube Institute. It was done by the two of them. They got a lot of other organizations to cooperate with them, but they're the ones who are in charge of it. So they are responsible. Orbán is responsible for a great deal of what we are going through.
Right. Now, there's something else to be said about this election. As you commented before the show, it was expected to be fairly close.
Right.
And people thought if it was going to be close, that Orban would be able to manipulate, you know, kind of like what happened in Venezuela for a time.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't close. It was enormously overwhelming, shockingly so. Not only did Magyar, the opponent, win, and remember, he was banned from being on state media the state sponsored media.
People the state sponsored all the media, right?
Yeah, they couldn't hear his name. They couldn't hear his voice. They couldn't hear his programs or his policies. you know, something like this happened in the United States back around the turn of the 20th century when Upton Sinclair ran for governor of California. Remember, he was a great reformer.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote the Jungle about the meatpacking industry.
Mm-hmm.
And the Republican establishment in California was so fearful of him that the press, the Los Angeles Times, refused to print his name. It was like a blackout of him. And come election day, he lost, even though he was a populist and favorable. Well, Orban had the same powers, and it didn't work. It didn't work. And not only did Magyar win, but he won with a veto-proof legislature.
Two-thirds. He got two-thirds of the candidates.
Over two-thirds of it.
Yeah.
And it was so overwhelming that Orban had no choice. He couldn't stay in power. Now, that doesn't mean he isn't going to be manipulating behind the scenes to try to get back. But right now, and Magyar not only won, but he took the reins and went right at them as soon as he won. He went to the president. You know, the president in parliamentary systems are the ceremonial leaders. They don't have any governmental power, so to speak. But he went had his picture taken with the president, and then told the president, because the president was an Orban man, "I want you out. I want you gone." And he went to the TV stations that wouldn't show his face or his name or his voice, and said, "You're done. We're now gonna, you know, we're now gonna have a free press again." So you know, this is what you really have to do. You have to show strength against them. You can't be namby-pamby. You have to go right at them, and that's what he did. But now, all, you know, there's going to be a test, I guess, in Romania coming up shortly, as to what the people will do there. But the right wing in America, the fascistic right wing, is trying to regroup and see, where do we go from here? Because
they had a very bad time at their CPAC conference.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I mean, they were really fighting with each other.
Fighting with each other, low attendance, low energy type of things.
The war is not popular among the fascists.
Not popular among the MAGA people.
No.
And so. These, as I said, these things tend to run in cycles, and when one of the big pillars falls, you know, the others are, you know, in jeopardy.
Well, we can see that right here, right now, because this week the redistricting vote in Virginia takes place on Tuesday, right?
Right, right.
And it would never have taken place if Trump hadn't decided to try to rig the election by redistricting, I wouldn't say illegally, but certainly outside the norm that we have come to expect of when redistricting takes place, right?
Right, right.
So the Democrats, to their credit, responded and said, if you can do it, we can do it.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to do it in Virginia. And in Virginia, you need a popular referendum. That takes place on Tuesday, right? But
yes.
Florida also wants to do it. But what happened?
What happened is that DeSantis, the governor, was set to call a special legislative session to do it. And now all of a sudden he's kind of waiting to see what happens in Virginia. If Virginia doesn't do it, he may not do it. Although I suspect he's going to be asked to do it no matter what by Donald Trump. But we'll see what happens.
I'll bet you that it was the influence of Orban's loss that made DeSantis think twice.
Right.
Because, as you said before, these guys act in concert.
Yeah. Now, DeSantis has done a heck of a lot of bad things there, you know, taking over that new university and whatever. And he wants to be succeeded by his wife.
But this
is the shades of George Wallace and his wife, Laureline, remember?
Right. Oh, yeah.
All of that. But, you know, if there's all these unpopular things.
But isn't Byron Daniels running for governor?
Donald's.
Donald. He's running.
He's running. And by the way, some of the polling show David Jolly, who was a Republican congressman, turned Democrat, and he's running. And some of the polling show that no matter who the Republican is, Jolly is running very close in percentage. Now, remember how bad Florida has been for the Democrats over the last couple of cycles.
Right.
Charlie Crist, the last opponent for DeSantis, got hammered.
Right.
Again, it's not sure whether it's the popularity of Democrats or it's the unpopularity of the Republicans, but it seems to be more of the latter than the former.
Well, how about Ohio, right?
Yeah.
Ramaswamy?
Yeah, he's looking like he may not win. And the more he talks, the more problems he creates for himself.
He's perfectly ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, his arrogance, his style, his disdain for regular ordinary people is coming out. He may be dragging down the whole ticket because there's a senatorial election that Sherrod Brown is running in to try to get back into the Senate. It's not his old seat. His old seat was taken by J.D. Vance. But this is the other seat. I mean, the woman that he's running against is, not running a good race. Not running a good race. So, we'll have to see what occurs there.
Why is she not running a good race? What is
it's she just doesn't seem to have caught on, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have the problems that the Republicans have been having, and that the Democrats are overperforming.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There was that one a vote this week in New Jersey for the open Mickey Sherrill's old seat for Congress, and the woman who won the Democratic primary won an overwhelming. She won by 20 points.
Right.
The vote for in the last presidential election was a lot closer in New Jersey.
Well, speaking of being close, what do you think about the cage match, Trump versus Pope Leo?
Well, on an intellectual basis, it's no contest.
No, it's no contest. That's right. That's right.
and some people are speculating that one of the reasons that the College of Cardinals picked an American Pope was this instance where he could he understood Trump and he could go toe to toe with him.
Yeah.
And the Pope really took the stand that all popes take, being against war.
Right.
But Trump jumped on him and attacked him, said he's for,
he's soft on crime.
Soft on crime. He's for Iran acquiring the nuclear bomb, which, of course, is...
What the hell? How could the Pope be for or against crime? What does that have to do with anything?
Yeah. But this, this has put conservative Catholics in somewhat of a bind.
Well, but many of them came out for Pope Leo and said Trump shouldn't speak like this.
Right. And the way he went after him. And then Trump compounded the felony by the other Christians, the evangelicals, by portraying himself as Jesus Christ in a meme that he picture that he sent out. And then what did he do? He denied that he was trying to be Jesus. He said he was supposed to be a doctor.
Now, yes, maybe you heard the same thing. That his one of his gurus said to him, tell him that the picture was doctors. He didn't know what that meant. So he said, I was supposed to be a doctor.
Right.
Right? Completely believable.
Yeah. But of course, the counter memes have been enormous.
Yeah.
And the hypocrisy in the Republicans is showing.
But Trump, if you're going to fight with Pope Leo, he should have left it to Pete Hegseth, who, after all, is an expert in religion.
Right.
Right. Well, he belongs to an evangelical church, and he's tried to turn the Pentagon into a place for religious worship.
Right? Yes.
Right.
And of course, then he decided this week that he was going to invoke. A biblical quote that appeared allegedly appeared in the movie Pulp Fiction, the famous speech by Samuel L. Jackson. It did appear, but it is not the although Jackson said it came from the Book of Ezekiel, it really didn't. It's it wasn't the same thing. But
Jackson didn't say it. The character Jackson was playing said it.
Said that. Yes. So Pope, quoting a guy who's a hitman,
right,
who murders people for without thinking a second thing about it,
exactly.
And then also there was critique of the Pope. J.D. Vance said the Pope should stick to theology,
right?
which of course the Pope was quoting. For the fact that the Pope is an Augustinian, and Saint Augustine was the one that came up with the idea of just war.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Well,
there irony is dead, I guess.
So people make a big deal, especially his supporters, about J.D. Vance's smarts. Do you think he actually wrote the book? Hillbilly Elegy that he became famous for, or like Trump, he had a ghostwriter write it for him?
I don't know. I don't know. It might be a combination of both.
The guy who delivered a speech, the Vice President of the United States in Hungary, saying foreign leaders shouldn't mix into other countries' elections, and did it without a smile, did it seriously, that man doesn't have the brains to write a book.
You know, they are so arrogant that they think that they, people won't know the difference. But people do.
Of course people do, sure.
People do.
Or Melania Trump, who delivers a speech how many years ago, which she copied entirely from Mrs. Obama. From Michelle Obama. She said, no, I just used similar words. Well, we all use similar words. There's not a single word that I've uttered that Pope Leo hasn't used at one time or another.
Right.
Well, there you go. So I guess Melania was right.
That's it.
However, I plan now to speak only in Yiddish, and I don't think Pope Leo...
he speaks speaks a number of languages. I don't know if Yiddish is one.
I don't think Yiddish. They don't speak Yiddish in Peru.
No.
Well, who knows? Maybe somebody does. I don't know.
Well, yeah. Anyhow, you know, one of the great religious hypocrites is the Speaker of the House.
Just a religious hypocrite?
Well, that's among things.
Yeah.
But his level of incompetence is on display on a constant basis. There was a vote this week. He couldn't prevent it being a vote on the War Powers Act over the war. And essentially, if it wasn't for one Democrat crossing over, the Republicans would have lost that vote.
Well, that meant that one Republican at least voted on the Democratic
side. Yeah, one Republican voted. Yeah, it was 214 to 213.
Yeah,
but then he needed a vote to re-up the FISA Act, under which a lot of these things that are happening, domestic, spying type of stuff.
Yeah, warrantless spying. Yeah.
Warrantless spying and what have you is permitted. And he could not get a vote to include that. All they could get was a brief extension not to let it lapse.
So they have to take it up in another couple of weeks, right?
Yep. And look for it to be kicked down the road again. I don't know what he can do in between. Well, of course, Congress is in a, free fall also because of the scandals that hit the Eric Swalwell scandal on the Democratic side and the Tony Gonzalez scandal on the Republican side. Gonzalez thought he could ride it out. He said, I won't run for re-election. But when Swalwell came along and the indication was that they were going to throw him out, Swalwell resigned and Gonzalez saw the writing on the wall that he wasn't going to, there was just too much public pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So he's out of it. Now, the Swalwell
Did he resign? Did Gonzalez actually resign?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Swalwell thing had a second effect in that Swalwell was running for governor of California, and among the Democrats, he was the leading one.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, his percentage of votes had to get redistributed. And depending on the polls, some of them went to the top Republican, a guy named Hilton, who was not a bad candidate. And I said, I think, last week that Tom Steyer, the billionaire running, would be the top beneficiary of that.
Mm-hmm.
And he certainly moved up. It's curious to his campaign. He has moved probably the farthest to the left.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about abolishing ICE and to mm-hmm. arresting them and mm-hmm. and what have you. But the other Democrat who was near the top of the Democrats was Katie Porter, and she picked up a little bit. But the other one who picked up a lot was Javier Becerra,
mm-hmm.
Who hadn't been polling very high. But the problem for the Democrats is they made split the vote so equally that the top two could be Republican.
Quite likely, right? Quite likely.
Well, it's likely that one of them is going to be a Republican. We'll see what, over the next 6 weeks, what Tom Steyer is willing to suspend to put himself there.
He's got the money. He can certainly do that.
Yeah, he's a billionaire. So that's something for the Democrats to watch on that. And on the other side of the country, we have the mayor of New York, Mamdani, who is one by one trying to keep his campaign pledges. Mm-hmm. This week, $38 million he was going to establish a grocery store.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was last week. That was last week.
That was last week. Okay.
$30 million, right.
$30 million. And then
this week he announced $20 million. He was raising privately for expanding childcare.
which was one of his
key
promises.
Right.
And then the other thing is he decided that he was going to get a tax, or hope to get a tax, that would tax these second homes of millionaires and billionaires where they don't really live in the city. That seemed to have been quite popular type of idea. The ideas of wealth taxes haven't really gone over, and there's going to be a question of that in California.
They have a constitutional or a referendum on that, right?
A referendum on that.
Yeah.
But in New York, doing this on apartments or units that are worth a certain amount of money.
Over 5 million. Has to be over 5 million.
Or 5 million.
Yeah.
That might, pass muster. And the one example that he used was the one that was purchased for, $238 million.
Mm-hmm.
All these things are empty, a lot of these places.
Well, that's it. If you go through Manhattan and you see some of these new buildings, they are empty. I mean, they are bought. They're not empty from the viewpoint that the landlord owns them or the developer owns them. He couldn't sell them. They're all sold. Yeah. They were sold to people in other countries, for the most part, who are looking to get their money out of wherever they had it into America.
Right.
And
they're money laundered.
They're money launderers. Right. These are money laundering places. And so what Mamdani is saying, all right, you want to launder your money, pay us a tax for it. Basically, that's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, Trump was very good at doing that sort of stuff.
Yeah. And in this particular case, the governor is with Mamdani. She's all for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It will not solve Mamdani's problems, but it will help.
Yeah. I mean, And she, of course, wants Mamdani's help because she's running for re-election.
But who's against it is the Democratic leader of the city council, who's against this wealth tax, this tax on the super rich apartments. But she's a creature of the real estate industry. She always was. She always has been. Yeah. How she became the speaker, I don't know.
Well, but
she got the votes until she got elected. She's elected by the council as the speaker. So, anyway, that's happening there. But what's coming up? Anything?
Well, that Virginia vote on Tuesday.
Which will then tell us what Florida will do.
Yeah, and we don't know what the situation's going to be in the, with the war with Iran and the Straits of Hormuz. It seems that
this
from
weekend,
hour to hour,
it's closed.
Lebanon, we have a ceasefire. We don't have a ceasefire.
And the people say, well, we'll look to the markets. That'll tell us what's going on. The markets can't tell you what's going on. First of all, they don't have a brain. Second of all, what makes you think investors in stocks are smart about anything? What they are is selfish. The fact is that everybody who knows anything about the oil industry has been writing about the fact that the damage done up till now is going to take years to repair, and the production cannot be restored quickly. It will take years to restore the flow that has been cut off by this war. And despite that, the people who invest are investing as if the damage doesn't exist and it won't exist tomorrow. It's preposterous. Absolutely preposterous. But that's what Trump points to and says, see, we're doing great. The stock market is great. But the world, we're not doing
people
great.
People aren't buying it.
Yeah.
The people aren't buying it.
People aren't buying it. But they're having to buy gas at, we're in California, $6 here, $4.25, $0.29, $0.30 and more, right?
Although it went down a little bit this week. But it's still... It's over a dollar more than it was a year ago. So,
I think it's over a dollar more than it was 4 months ago. Anyway, we're done for today.
Okay.
We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week, same time, same place.